injured David Wilson. For more news, click on our website, bbc.co.uk/solent. That's the news so far this afternoon. It's 4 minutes past one. BBC
Radio Solent. Check on the weather now, here's Sarah Thornton.
It's already very different than it has been in recent days because it's 11 Celsius, 52 in Fahrenheit at the moment across Hampshire, and so that makes it a very different feeling sort of day. Although there is still plenty of cloud around. Of course, we've had some showers along the south coast, some of which just ran inland earlier on this morning. But as we go through the afternoon, we continue dry, mostly cloudy, a few brighter intervals, which we have seen some of which already. And any showers will become light and die away from the coast. And again, a top temperature of 12 Celsius. 54 in Fahrenheit in the best of the brightness. Tonight we start dry through the evening, but then rain pushing in as we go through the night, clearing off towards the west, east even, excuse me, all the time. And dry by the morning, but lows overnight then staying close to double figures, 8 or 9 Celsius in many spots, 9 is 48 Fahrenheit. Tomorrow then behind tonight's rain starts much brighter than recently, some good sunny spells, but we can't rule out some showers tomorrow afternoon, and a top temperature of 14 Celsius. Then it's rain overnight into Friday, and that's when we turn very autumnal again, wet and windy for Friday.
Now, before you go, Sarah, we're talking about strangest jobs, because one of my guests used to sell cochlear mussels on the seaside.
Yeah.
What did you do?
I worked in a... God bless you.
I could feel that coming.
In a chemist. No, I worked in a scone factory.
A scone factory?
Yeah, when I was at university. And here is a little secret. A, I don't eat scones anymore. I'll just tell you that now. And B, we used to stop the conveyor belt. They used to stop the conveyor belt and just change the packaging. And so some well-known high street supermarchés all had the same kind.
So it's worth buying economy, is what you're saying.
I'm just saying that was a scone thing.
Yeah. She's got a little bit of a tip there. Sarah, thank you very much indeed.
BBC Radio Solent
with Charlie Crocker.
So, what was your strange one? I ran an ice cream van for a summer holiday. I also sold illuminated yo-yos in a big department store. No, really.
BBC Radio Solent.
So, how did you start? And did it mean that it meant that you thought, you know, I'm going to make sure whatever other job I do is not the same as that job? So, strange jobs, 0845 30 30 961, 07786 200 961.
You've done me wrong, your time is up. You took a sip from the devil's cup. You broke my heart, there's no way back. Move right out of here, baby, go pack your bag. Just who do you think you are? Stop acting like some kind of star. Just who do you think you are? Take it like a man, baby, if that's what you are. Cause I'm moving on, though. You're moving on now. Moving on, though. Nothing can stop me. Moving on, though. You're moving on now. Time to break. Braga man has walked in space, but you can't even find my place. There ain't nothing you can do, cause I've had enough of me, baby, being part of you. Just who do you think you are? This time you've gone too far. Just who do you think you are?
moving on up. So, did you move on up? We're talking strangest jobs, and we've just heard from Sarah on weather that she used to work in a scone factory, and all she's saying is don't pay extra for the other types of scones because they're all in the same package. I mean, you heard it here. I did run an ice cream van one summer, and I also have been one of those annoying promotions girls, it won't surprise you, who on the same stand had illuminated yo-yos as well as scarf clips, and it was one of the most terrifying jobs I ever did, because A, I can't work a yo-yo, and B, what is a scarf clip? So consequently, I used to get any small child walking past to help me out with the yo-yo, and then do with enough of a flounce with a scarf with this particular scarf clip. You've probably got one in the back of the cupboard somewhere. But we're talking strange jobs, and in just a moment, my next guest, Barry Mahoney, will be talking about his book, Journeys and Jigsaws, because it's the first of a series of books titled From Teacher to Drag Queen. So certainly there is a change of career there. But before that, I spoke earlier to two of the lads from The Bill. We've been trying to find out what they're going to be singing for Children in Need. And listen to that job.
Do you know what? I actually, for a very short amount of time, I used to sell cockles and mussels. I think it was only a day I did it.
Now that is another discussion for the show. What was one of your stranger jobs? Cockles and mussels, alive, alive, oh. So let us know, 0845 30 30961 on the text, 07786 200 961. Now I'm going to welcome my guest Barry Mahoney, who's joined us from the Canary Islands on what I can only apologise to be quite a drizzly sort of horrible day, Barry. And you're looking gorgeous and suntanned and...
Well, sorry about that, but it's good to be here, and yes, it is good to be back in the UK again.
Now, when I was reading about you and this book, it is an extraordinary change, and your life really has taken the sort of turn which, well, a lot of people say is slightly mad or slightly brave, or, you know, it is one of those sort of life changes. And yesterday on the show, funnily, we did something about that time in your life when you know you have to change things, and quite often, you don't actually know where that's going to end up.
Well, I call it recognising your own sell-by date. I think it's very important. And as a teacher, and later as a head teacher and school inspector, I think I saw so many teachers, good teachers, who'd really had enough, that perhaps the job had passed them by, they were hanging on a little bit too much to the past, and they were ready for a change of career. But it's very, very difficult to have the courage to say, no, I want to do something else. So I always swore that whatever job I did, as soon as I recognised my own sell-by date approaching, I would move on. And I had a good career as a teacher, head teacher, and as a school inspector. But I think after 7 years as an Ofsted inspector in England and Est in Wales, I felt enough was enough. And so the sunny shores of Spain beckoned.
But it's just that moment, because you're saying it very sort of, oh, well, I just thought that. And, you know, I know what that decision-making process can be like. And you know, it can start as a little itch, if you like. And then by the end of it, you're thinking, right, OK, so I know the decision's there, but what do I do next?
It was difficult, but you know, that little bell inside you rings, and it rings more and more loudly as time goes on.
Cathedral bell.
That's right. The bell tolls, and I was in at a conference during the last year of my years as a school inspector, and it was one of these conferences where part of the time you play silly games, and then you look at yet another framework. And it was during that meeting I thought, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't actually believe now in what I'm doing. I've had 6-7 wonderful years in doing something I believed in, but now the framework was changing yet again, and all these really good teachers out there who are still my colleagues, I don't want to inflict this on them anymore. I've done my bit in the bits I believed in, but no, I don't believe in this anymore. And that's really when, as I say, the call to Spain came. Also, Dave, my partner, hadn't been too well, and we decided that a life in the sun would be better for us. And so, yes, we bought a small villa in Spain, and we thought we had enough money to last for 12 months. We had a wonderful time, but after 3 months, we'd spent it all.
Yes, there is that. There's, you know, it's the sunshine and the lifestyle, and you think, oh, this is fantastic. I'm bound to get something soon, and you do have that. Well, it's a bit hedonistic, and also giving yourself time off when you've had that sort of lifestyle can be very important to know what you're next going on to.
Yes, it was important to have that break. week, but we didn't realise it'd come to an end quite so quickly. And so we looked around, and I got a job delivering newspapers, actually, for an English language newspaper. It was sort of a 3 o'clock in the morning job, dropping it off to all these little shops and things. And David, my partner, got a job managing a newspaper office in Torrevieja. And that went very well, and we became great friends with our boss. And it was actually one boozy night in Benidorm.
There always has to be one.
Boozy night in Benidorm. When he happened to say he was looking to expand, and I said, well, why don't you consider the Canaries? And it was 4 weeks later that we were on the ferry to the Canary Islands with two dogs, a laptop computer, a small suitcase to start a new life, launching and managing an English language newspaper in Gran Canaria.
Good gracious. Well, that's the start of the story. Barry Mahoney joins me now. We'll have a little bit of music. Any questions? Journeys and Jigsaws is the book. Do give us a call, 0845 3030 961. Casey and the Sunshine Band. Sunshine being where they've ended up. Barry Mahoney joins me, author of Journeys and Jigsaws.
The countdown to BBC Children in Need 2009 is on.
And it's not too late to get involved.
This Sunday at the King's Theatre Southsea, join me, Sally Taylor and friends at Up Close and Personal in aid of BBC Children in Need. The stage will be packed with great guests, live music, and we'll even make you laugh. For more details, go to bbc.co.uk/south today.
BBC Radio Sutton will bring you the big build-up to Children in Need Day.
And we'll also be coming along to your fundraising events.
Children in Need with BBC Radio Solent.
Go on, be part of it.
A text has come through. Hi, Charlie. I used to work as a strippogram in the gay bars and clubs. That was an eye-opener, I can tell you. Ryan, also known as Natasha, when I'm in drag. There you are. Do you know Ryan?
Probably.
Yes. But maybe it's Natasha.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. You've texted through to us. Thank you very much indeed. And we are talking to Barry Mahoney. We're talking about your lifestyle previously as a head teacher, then as an Ofsted inspector, and off you go. And then you find yourself in Gran Canaria and with the two dogs and the small suitcase and think, right, so how did that go?
Well, initially it was a nightmare because we found ourselves in a brand new apartment which had no proper water or electricity. I mean, it was builder's water and electric, which means it sometimes comes on and sometimes doesn't. And we had the impending deadline of the first edition with no mains and no working lift and two dogs on a fourth floor. It was a bit of a nightmare, actually. But we eventually got the first edition out. Very quickly realised it wasn't that good, in as much that we tried to emulate the one for the Costa Blanca, and of course we quickly learned in the Canaries it's a very, very different island.
Yeah.
So by edition 2 and 3 we'd really zinged it up, and we tried to reflect the makeup of the island, and that's an island rich in culture and of course diversity.
Yeah.
It's a holiday island, but a lot of Brits, you know, Germans, Scandis live there alongside very happily with the Canarians and Spanish. And that's, I think, one of the main things about the island, is the diversity. You know, colour, as I say, race, religion. It just is a very good mix.
Now, let's talk drag queens. Now,
well, I'm not.
But
haven't got the legs.
Oh, you haven't got the legs. Well, that's sad, really, isn't it? Because I was hoping you knew Natasha from there. But you talk diversity and,
yeah,
you know, drag bars and things like that. Did you ever get tempted to open one?
Yes, I think so. But as I don't like too much alcohol, I don't like late nights or smoke.
Oh,
it seemed a bad
rubbish
idea.
Yes, exactly. It'd be no good whatsoever. And do you see yourself staying?
Yes, it's very much home. I mean, as I say, never say never, and always recognise your own sell-by date and the time to move on. But it's very much home. You know, we're itching to get back to the island on Friday, you know, to see our little dog, as well as, of course, our friends over there. You know, the climate is wonderful, certainly, but I think it is that relaxed lifestyle that live and let live.
Mm.
You know, I've been on one or two things over the last fortnight where, for example, the occurrences of gay bashing and so on have been increasing. I was talking to people in Lincolnshire and indeed London where the figures are quite distressing. And the live and let live attitude of the islands is wonderful. As long as you don't upset or interfere anyone else, and it's broadly legal. You know, anything goes, and it's a good way to live.
But you haven't been back for a year, and
no.
What you're saying perhaps is you think it's perhaps increased because I'm just thinking in this last year, or is that our fault again, media's fault? You know that more are being reported, or do you think there is yet again that underlying aggression, because that's what it is, about gay couples? Because that kind of doesn't match up with the fact that obviously we're welcoming civil partnerships and we're given to believe that things have moved on.
Yes, I mean,
but you've moved away and come back
that's
in.
That's right. I mean, as an ex-Ofsted inspector, I'd be very reluctant to say something without evidence to back me up.
No, that's fair enough.
But certainly, that's the impression I'm being given by your colleagues in other, you know, other areas, and certainly speaking to people over here that, you know, we know well, it does seem to be on increase. But if you look at times of recession in the past, times of difficulty for any society, that is often when the weaker members of society perhaps are attacked verbally and often physically. You know, it could be because of the colour of your skin, it could be you know, because of your faith, it could be because of your sexual orientation. We've seen it in other, you know, bad times, recession, of course, wartime and so on. I don't know. I'm hoping that it's because gays and lesbians are finding it easier to report crime.
So it could simply be it's been there and that's why we're seeing the increase.
But on one of my book events, I've had some very distressing stories from gay couples who couldn't get a reaction, for example, from the police following verbal abuse and abuse to their home and so on. This was only a few weeks ago. And it does contrast very strongly to, you know, the place where I've come from.
It does. And also, I must just say, I saw the most incredible television programme last night, Rosa Monckton did, on people who are living with disabled children and the problems they're having with being heckled. I mean, I find that disgusting that I can even say that. And I find it in any minority. But, you know, I think the problem is they were also having police say, you know, we haven't got the time. And it's just this great big problem that is sort of, you know, doesn't just go within the you know, gay community. I think it's happening everywhere.
I saw that program last night, actually,
as well,
and it was very moving. It really was. And yes, you're right. It isn't just gay people that are having this problem. It's minorities. It's people, you know, with disabilities as well, as we saw. There have been changes to the law. A lot of good changes over the last, you know, dozen 15 years or so on the equality front. But it doesn't happen overnight. It takes time to bed into a community. It takes time to bed into school. I don't know how long we've got, but just an idea, just something just flashed into my mind of a young man I met 2 or 3 years ago, actually, in a bar in Bournemouth. It turned out I saw this young man looking at me, and he came over to me eventually and said, "You were my teacher when I was 11." And it was good to see him again. I did remember him, and I bought him a drink. And he turned around and said to me, "I wish you'd told us you were gay. It would have made my life so much easier." And when his parents had found out that he was gay, they'd turned him out of his home. He'd got into drugs in a big way. He'd moved to London, and he became HIV positive. I don't know whether that declaration of the fact that I was gay would have helped, but certainly a great openness would have done. And it really shocked me, actually, that this lad's life had been all but destroyed by the fact he couldn't come to terms with his own sexuality, or indeed been supported by people in his very small village community.
Yeah.
It was a Dorset community.
Very sad indeed.
It was a tragic story, and it really shook me.
Well, gosh, that's something that remains with you. And I think what you can't do is you did what you felt was right during your teaching career. And this wonderful word, hindsight, which we look back in. And I think in years to come that will be something that, you know, is almost said, "My name's John, I'm gay," or, you know, as a teacher, I'm sure it will happen. In fact, perhaps listeners will have a thought on that. I wish I had you for much longer, Barry. Why the book? Why did you decide to write?
Well, I think it was all these experiences and events bottled up inside me during my time as an inspector and teacher. And then we edited and produced a newspaper for nearly 3 years, and it was time to let the job go. And then I had time on my hands to finish a book I'd started 3 years earlier, but found it wouldn't all fit into one book, of course, and so it's the first part of a trilogy, From Teacher to Drag Queen. And, book two is with the publishers now, and book three is still
in
my
head. Really, I mean, don't put yourself under any pressure there. It's been lovely to meet you. I'm so glad you've come. And the book is Journeys and Jigsaws. It's Barry Mahoney. And Barry is with two R's and an IE, and Mahoney, MAHONEY. And there's a website as well with a .com on the end.
There is, BarryMahoney.com.
Excellent. Yes. It's really nice to meet you. Thank you
and
so
you.
Much.
Thank you very much.
If you really want, you can get it. If you really want, you can get it. If you really want, but you must try, try and try, try and try. You succeed at last. Persecution, you must be. You've got your mind set on a dream. You can get it, the money may seem low. You can get it if you really want. You can get it if you really want, yeah. You can get it if you really want. But you must try, try and try, try and try. You succeed at last. In a day, opposition will come your way.
But the hotter, the better you see. Hear the sweeter, the bitter rebound. Succeed at last. Yeah, you can get it if you really want. You can get it if you really want. You can get it if you really want. But you must try, try.
Desmond Dekker. My thanks to the boys. Barry Mahoney's book is out. It's Journeys and Jigsaws. And you can have a look online on his website, barrymahoney.com. We'll check on the weather and then the travel. We're getting some more strange jobs coming. In fact, I'm surely got to award the prize for the strangest one to Sue from Hungerford, who used to sex one-day-old chicks. Good grief, Sue. Most of today will be dry, but a little bit of cloud around. A few brighter intervals developing with coastal areas affected by showers. The showers will become light and dying away this afternoon. Maximum temperature 11. This evening, cloudy with rain reaching the area later this evening. The rain heavy in places for a time, clearing most parts by the morning. Minimum temperature 7. Let's check on the roads, and here's Anna Love.
Thank you. Problems on the M27 eastbound this afternoon. Two lanes are currently closed. We've got queuing traffic, long delays. It's all down to resurfacing work between Junction 8 for Burslesdon and Junction 9 for Sessionsworth following yesterday's accident and diesel spillage. Congestion on the M27 is back to Junction 7 for Hedge End, so do watch out for that. At M27, it's south westbound. We've got queuing traffic on the exit slip road at Junction 8 for Burslesdon, so do watch out for that as well. Roadworks causing problems in places this afternoon. In Southampton, in Bassett, the A33 Bassett Avenue, we have a lane closed due to ongoing work at the Winchester Road roundabout. At Longham, slow traffic on the A348 Ringwood Road as you approach the Bear Cross roundabout. That's down to ongoing work. And in Poole, the traffic lights, thanks for Belinda for calling in, the traffic lights are currently out on Broadstone Way, affecting both ways at York Road, so do approach there with some care. Other roadworks to remind you of, in Bournemouth, we've got slow traffic at the moment on Leicester Road, both ways at Lindsay Road, once again down to ongoing roadworks in the area. As always, anything else that you happen to spot that I haven't mentioned, do give me a call. I'll be back with a further update for you just before 2.
Call BBC Radio Solent Travel
0845 30 40 961.
BBC Radio Solent.
Thousands of people to witness.